that that experience is not just a one-time shot? That there's many fillings. There's many movements of God. There's many visitations of God that continues to bring. We talked about that verse earlier, from glory to glory. It gets brighter and brighter, better and better, right? We become fuller and fuller. And this is the kingdom of God here that we talk about. That when the kingdom of God invades us, invades you, your marriage, your family, your life, our church, our community, our nation, our world. I want to tell you, heaven comes down and it fills the soul. And I want to ask the question, are you experiencing that? You know, the very purpose of the cross was for Jesus, who died on the cross in your place, to make a way to have fellowship with the Father forever. And that forever started the moment that 2,000 years later you came along and you gave your life to Christ. You gave your life to Him with great expectation. And you know, that expectation should never ever wane. It should never ever grow dim, because our God makes great promises to us about who we are in Him and where He's calling us and where He's moving us and where He's taking us. You know, but I think sometimes in life we get distracted. We get our eyes off the main thing. We get the eyes off Christ, eyes off the purpose. And it might be money, and it might be relationships. It may be a new relationship, an old relationship. It may be your retirement. It may be something going on at your job. There might be a crisis, and all of a sudden we get our minds off the main thing. And I've seen people go years and years with their eyes off the main thing, of who God is, what He desires to do in our lives. And you know, I think that's what happens immediately in this passage of Scripture that we're looking at in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, Jesus has risen from the dead. There is an empty tomb that people are declaring and sharing about. And the disciples, the Bible says, are locked up in a room. They're scared to death. They're frightened. They're fearful. And it's this very first verse, it speaks of this fear. The Bible says, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, why? For fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now, let me just say a couple of things about fear again. A number of months ago when we talked about David and Goliath, we spoke a little bit of this, of what this fear and what anxiety and what worry is really all about. Because I just want to say that I believe just having a propensity to worry, a propensity for anxiety, and a propensity for fear. Okay, I'm just going to tell you, I've had that in my life. God has done some marvelous things in my life to set me free from it. But I want to tell you, I still have the propensity to do it. Okay, I just do. And I'm going to tell you, as I move from glory to glory, it gets less and less, but it's there. It's part of the flesh that God says to crucify. But every one of us in this room, we deal with some of the same things. And some of us in this place deal with it, experience it more than others. Worry wart, right? Anxious, anxiety, stress, the things that just come on you because of what's happening around you. And that's what's happening with these folks. And I just want to say this. Fear has a base. Fear has a foundation. Okay? And it's very different from the foundation of Christ. Let me tell you what fear is. Fear is the assumption that you're going to lose something. That's really what it is. It's the assumption that you're going to lose something, that you're going to lose out. You know, for Job, do you remember when Job lost everything? Do you know what he said? He said, man, what I have feared has come upon me. What I've dreaded about has come upon me. He's been assuming this. Now, I want to say this. I just believe that when the enemy came into God's presence and God just kind of was showing Job off, you know, to the presence of God, to the enemy, he was saying, have you seen my servant Job? Job. He's righteous. There's no one else like him. And the enemy said, well, I tell you what, let me get after him and we'll see how fast. There's nobody like him. And you know, when you learn some insights about reading Job, and we're not going to spend much time with it this morning, but when you get some insight, when he says it, when he says, what I fear, it has come upon me, and what I have dreaded, it befalled me. I just want to say this. There's this thought, and there's this idea that he's been assuming that these kinds of things, the wealthiest guy in the world, the most righteous guy in the world, has had some assumptions about his future. And the enemy comes along and uses that. And I want to say to us today, let's throw off the assumption and the threat of loss. Let's just do that so there's nothing so that worry can't attach to our heart. Job feared losing his wealth, losing his family, losing his health. Let's get rid of the presumptions. Let's address the threat. The disciples had a fear of losing their lives. There's a pretty good story. I mean, this isn't the first time in John chapter 20 that they're walking in fear. I'd go to Mark chapter 8, if you would. Keep your place there. And I just lost my place in John. But go to Mark chapter 8. Verse 36. And that's not it. How did I miss that? Oh my. Can anybody know where I'm heading? Done this before. Doesn't happen often, but it's happened today. What? No. They all quit guessing. I'm sorry. Let me just tell you the story. They get into the boat, and they're going on their side, and Jesus falls asleep in the stern. He's sleeping. All of a sudden, this storm comes up, and I'm going to tell you, it's a big storm. These guys are fishermen. They fish this lake all their lives. They've seen storms before. They've seen waves. They've seen wind. But I'm going to tell you, this storm has to be so gigantic in their minds and their heart, and they're just scared to death. And Jesus says to them, and they come to the stern, and they shake Jesus up, and they wake Jesus up. Isn't that cool? They got to wake Jesus up. They woke Jesus up, and they said, Lord, don't you care about us? Don't you see what's happening? We're about to die, and you're sleeping through the event. God, we're about to die. Don't you even care? Let me tell you a couple of things about fear and what fear does. Fear causes you to miss out on who God is and who God really is. And it'll get you to questioning God. Start questioning about his ways. Question about how things work out in your life. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're questioning. And I'm going to say they're questioning the very integrity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what fear will do. It starts in the mind and the heart, and I mean, I'll tell you what, it builds a big, huge story. We're going to die. Well, guess what, folks? We're all going to die, okay, unless the Lord comes, right? It's going to happen. Some of us sooner than later, and there's no reason why we've got to fear that and assume that it's just around the corner. We just want to live like Jesus is coming back today. Amen. But they're afraid. They're questioning the integrity of Jesus. Don't you care? They're missing out on a great opportunity. I'm going to tell you, a great opportunity to see Jesus work. I mean, they get to see him work. But there's just something about their faith that Jesus will say after he hushes the wind and says, where is your faith? Oh, men of little faith. Okay, yeah, that's Mark 4. Someone found it. So no one... Everybody didn't hear a word I just said. They were looking for it, right? No, I'm kidding. It causes you to miss out. You know, there's another story in Scripture. It was the fear of failure. Did you remember the steward that God entrusted him a talent? And what did he do? He, in fear, he went and hid it because he thought he was going to lose it. And the Lord rebuked him for his fear of taking that talent and not using it for the glory of God. Let me tell you, fear has a base, and it's a threat. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't like elevators. I just don't. I don't like getting in them. I get in them. If I got to go to the fifth floor. No, I'm kidding. I just don't like them. Okay? Now, it's not like I'm just scared to death and can't get in them. I can get in them. But I want to tell you, you don't want to get in a stuck elevator with me, I don't think. I've got this thought, I'm going to get stuck in an elevator. You know, when I was growing up, I thought my parents weren't going to be around to raise me. I started jumping to conclusions and fearing that they would die one day. You know, that they would die and I'd be left with my brother and my sister. And those fears were real. But they were a presumption on the future, a threat that hasn't happened yet. When I was young, I had a fear of dying young. I'm just going to tell you, the enemy takes the fear, takes things in your life, points you to them and say, okay, worry about it, fear about it, ward about it. What does that do? That distracts you from your faith in who Jesus is and what Jesus said he would do. I'm 56 years old and I didn't die young. Well, some people could say, well, I'm 70, you're young. I've never gotten stuck in an elevator. My parents are still alive. And I spent a lot of time in my childhood, in my younger years, fearing stuff that still has not happened. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to it? You can. We're not going to have enough money to eat. We're not going to have enough money for the kids. We're not going to have money for education. We're not going to have the right job. I mean, we just go on and on and on and on. And I'm here to tell you, it needs to stop. Because that's not the God we follow. We follow Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Jireh, I am your provider. We follow Yahweh Shalom, I am your peace. We follow Jesus, the Prince of Peace. That's who we follow. That's whose authority we're under. And listen, folks, I know we're still in this fudge, this carton, and the enemy comes. But I want to tell you, just as we said earlier today, with all my heart, that when Jesus comes in, he comes to transform you into the image of Jesus from glory to glory. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. In a stuck elevator, in an intensive care unit, at a funeral home, wherever you are, he is. Amen? Amen. And these disciples are assuming some things that they should not be assuming. They've heard reports that he is alive. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. They haven't seen him yet, but just a half a day later, in the evening of the day, he comes into this place where they're all afraid. And the very first thing he says is, peace be with you. It's not the peace of the world, folks. It's not. And you know, I want to just say this. Peace is not your remedy for fear, worry, and anxiety. Jesus is. Your faith is the remedy. By the way, there's a scripture in Isaiah. Is that on the notes? Isaiah that says, fear brings a snare. I'm sorry, Proverbs. Fear brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Fear brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. There's something that'll happen in a person that trusts in God. And one of these things is peace. In the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the struggle, even in the midst of the loss, there's a peace that God promises that surpasses all understanding, and it guards the heart and the mind in Christ Jesus. Have you ever experienced that? Amen. That just out of nowhere it comes. You don't have to conjure it up. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to raise your hands for it. Shout out the devil for it. Jesus just comes and gives it to you. Why? Because you're a believer. You believe him. You believe who he is and what he says. And so you who trust. Now, there's a second thing, and it's not going to be in your notes. There's a second way that peace comes. And that's just by simply walking by the Spirit of God. Because the Bible said if you'll walk by the Spirit, you'll have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, it's the third fruit, and peace. Yahweh Shalom, the Prince of Peace, comes. Because why? You're trusting Him and you're walking by the Spirit. You say, well, how do you walk by the Spirit? You know, I don't have a blackboard illustration of that. All I'm saying is that when you grow in faith, you get to hear by the familiarity of the Word of God. That's why you need to be in your Bible every single day, so that God is taking that Word and illuminating and speaking to you through it, so that you can hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit of living God, to hear Him and to obey the prompting of the living God. And I want to tell you one of the greatest promptings is this: peace be still. That's a prompting. It's a prompt from God that peace be on you. There is peace right here in the middle of the turmoil, in the middle of the storm. And guess what happens? He may not do it immediately, but Jesus stands up and He hushes the storm. Now let me tell you what happens immediately. The storm in your life settles. There's no more waves. There's no more stress in this particular incident that you're going through. Why? Oh, it still might be going on around you. It still might be taking place. But let me just say, when Jesus touches you with His peace, I want to tell you, you have the peace that surpasses all understanding. He comes into this room and He says, "Peace be with you." And I'm going to tell you this. When God says it and you hear it, just believe it. Just believe it. Walk in agreement with what He just said. And you know, you might have to just say, "God, I receive that." That's a great thing to say. "God, I receive that peace right now in the name of Jesus. I will, by an act of my will, by the power of the Spirit of God, walk in agreement with who You are and what You say about me." Now, last night this was kind of my introduction for a sermon. And I had all the notes ready. And last night, some things began to change in my spirit. And I got up this morning, and this is totally different. It is in the notes that you got, but I just put them in. So I just want you to be patient with me. I haven't studied this all week. This is what I thought I'd share with you. There are some things that God has done in my life and spoken into my life that have helped me in this whole area of seeing fear, worry, anxiety crushed. Am I perfect at it? Absolutely not. But I just want to give you three words today. Words of peace that I've just clung to my spirit in times that have been struggle times and chaos and hurt and hardship. And I just want to tell you I want to share the first one with you. The first word is it's the promise of His presence and deliverance. And this is what the word is: I am with you to deliver you. Okay. Watch this. I am with you to deliver you. I first saw these words in Jeremiah chapter 1. Go ahead and turn there for just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah is a young guy. He's probably in his teens, maybe his mid-teens, his late teens. He's still a youth, the scripture says, when God comes along and calls him into ministry. And he's fearful about that, okay? He's fearful about his youth. He's fearful about his age. He's fearful about his maturity. God is calling him as a prophet to come against a wicked religious system, a wicked system in Judaism at this particular point, where folks are following after Baals, the Baal gods. They're walking in immorality. They're walking in thievery. They're walking in lust. They're walking in all those things. And this prophet he's called to be a prophet. And the Lord is telling him, "Listen, I want to tell you something about your ministry. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But I want you to know that I'm with you to deliver you. I'm with you to deliver you in every single circumstance, in every single situation that you're gonna approach. I want you to remember that I am with you to deliver you." And the Bible says in verse 4 of this chapter, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations.' And then He said, 'Alas, O Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak because I'm a youth.'" But the Lord said to me, you don't say that. Don't say I'm a youth. Because everywhere I go, everywhere I send you, you're going to go. And all that I command you to speak, you'll speak. Now don't be afraid of them. Don't walk in fear. Watch. For I'm with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. So I've appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. I'm going to tell you, he'll say it again in verse 19. I am with you to deliver you. Watch, look at verse 19. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Some of you need to hear this today. You need to hear this word. This word needs to be a special word for some of you. Some of you are in the fray. Some of you are in the midst of battle. And I want to just say something about this battle. Jesus is with you to deliver you. If he's with you, he's there for a purpose. And he's always with us. Is that not right? He's always with us. I am with you to deliver you. You remember in Matthew chapter 1? It's a Christmas story. Mary is pregnant. Mary has a betrothed, Joseph. And Joseph finds out she's pregnant. And he knows it's not him. So what he does is he desires, being a righteous man, that he has this opportunity by Jewish law to put her away, to divorce her, even though they're betrothed and they're not married. And so he does this, he's going to do this secretly, and then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, hey, don't do that. Mary is pregnant, but she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit of God. And this child, this seed that she's bearing, this child is the one. But guess what, Joseph? You're going to have a part of this. I want you to name him. I want you to name him Jesus. You know what the word Jesus means? Deliverer. Savior. The Hebrew word is Yeshua. Joshua. Listen to me. Wherever Jesus goes, it's Savior, Deliverer. And then he says, and by the way, this is going to fulfill a prophecy where it says that the virgin is going to be with child, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel Jesus, God with us to deliver us. God with us, Emmanuel, God with us right now, right here, to do what? To deliver us. To deliver us from these fears, to pull us out of the pits of destruction, to protect us and to hedge us in from the wrong decisions of this life. I am with you. Emmanuel, I am with you to deliver you. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that in my spirit, my soul, and how peace just comes. But folks, you got to believe that. It's faith. It's faith in the character and the name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with you to deliver you. Listen, when you hear this, you begin to realize that it's laced through Scripture. God's presence and God's deliverance power. He comes to deliver you. He comes to take away the sin. He comes to destroy the works of the devil. He comes to deliver you of all your fears. There's a great passage in Isaiah. But look it up on the screen. Isaiah 41:10. Don't fear. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you. I'm your God. I will strengthen you, surely I will help you, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Quit being afraid. Just stop it. It's not profiting anything in your life. It's not one thing that fear profits in your life. Oh, there might be some things that you need to be concerned about, hear what I'm saying. And there are some things that God warns you about. But to walk in fear and trembling, no way. That's not who we are. We're not fearers. We're not man fearers. We're not circumstantial fearers. We worship our great God who says, I'm with you to deliver you. I'm with you to deliver you. I pray that this kind of phrase in Scripture would speak to your heart. It would be the word that you need today, that God is with you to deliver you out of this. To make sure you're coming out of it without walking in sin and strongholds and getting back into places you know you don't need to be. I am with you. I am with you to deliver you. Peace be with you. There's a second word. And I just like this. It's this. It's not your fight. Did you hear that? It's not your fight. You know, this passage of scriptures in 1 Chronicles, I believe, just looked at it. Second Chronicles chapter 20. It's a great story. I want you to turn to it. I want us to look at it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There is a threat, and the threat is toward Israel. The threat came by way of a report in chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. The report is this, verse 2, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon, Tamar, that is En-Gedi. There's this great multitude coming against you. They're the sons of Moab, sons of Ammon. They're coming with the Meunites. They're coming to make war with you, Israel. They're coming to make war with you, Jehoshaphat. They're coming after you. And in verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid. And watch what he did in his fear. He turned his attention to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast through all Judea. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. And they even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How do you respond to that threat? Is there initial fear? Maybe. What are you going to do with that? Bible says he turns to the Lord. He gets his eyes off the physical war. That's what he does. He gets his eyes off the physical threat and he looks up to God. Calls for a fast, calls for folks to gather, and guess what? Folks are coming together. They're coming together to gather as a people, the people of God, to seek the Lord. There's kind of a really good story here, because in the story here, there's a little bit of a strategy. You turn your attention to the Lord. You gather together people to seek help from the Lord. If it's just you going through the problem, you need to call your friend. You need to call your accountability partner. You need to call your mentor. Call your mentoree or whatever. Call that person that you're in fellowship with, close fellowship, and gather them together to seek the help for the Lord. And that's what he does. And the Bible says in verses 5 through 12, he makes an appeal to God's promises. He says, oh God, listen, you're the great God in the heaven. We praise your name here. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Power and might are in your hand, so no one can stand against you. Lord, you drove out the inhabitants of the land, your people, and you gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever, and we're his descendants. We've lived in it. We've built a sanctuary in your name. Look at verse 8, 9. Should evil come upon us, the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this house before you. For your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Lord, these folks are coming. They're coming from Ammon. They're coming from Mount Seir. They're coming to invade your people. See what they're doing to reward us. They're going to come drive us out. And oh God, will you not judge them? For watch this. We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do but our eyes upon you. Ever been there? Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know what my next course of action is. But oh God, I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. I'm seeking your face. You promise that if we gather together, if we gather in your house, and I want to tell you, today it's not about this house, this building here. You are the house of the living God. We gather together to seek a word from him about this situation. Have you done that lately? Or are you still biting your fingernails? Are you still wrenching your hands? Are you still a nervous wreck? Have you turned your attention to Yahweh Shalom, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, God with us to deliver us? That's what they do. And you know, the wildest thing happens. God gives somebody a word. And the word is powerful. There's this guy, his name is Jehaziel. And he's God's answer to the prayer. Do you know that you, every one of you, are an answer to somebody's prayer? An answer to somebody's need. You are the answer that God wants to use in their life. It may be one person this week, it may be 10. It may be one person this month, it may be 20. But you're the answer for them. And this guy, Jehaziel, he's an answer. The question is, will we believe what Jehaziel says? Will we believe it? Will we believe what God says? Verse 14, in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeieli, son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. It's not your fight. It's God's fight. Now, God might use you in that fight, but it's not your fight. Are you warring with somebody today? Are you warring with your spouse? Are you struggling with him, with her? Are you warring with a decision? Are you warring with somebody in your life? Is there conflict outside, inside your life? I want to tell you this. It's not your fight. It's God's fight. It's God's fight for his glory. It's God's fight for his honor. It's God's fight for his provision. It's God's fight for who he is and what he desires to do in your life. It's his fight. The battle's not yours. A few years ago, sitting right in here, coffee shop. It's quiet. I was struggling, stressed out, fearful, had some things happening in my life, our lives. I was just struggling. And I said, God, I need a word from you. I need a word. And by the way, God, I sat down in one of those chairs and I said, I'm not leaving until I get it. So I'm desperate for you. Now I'm a journaler. I've always journaled. I've journaled since I was 17 years old. I got a tons of journals. And I'm out there and I got my journal out. And cutesy me starts, I put the time up. It's 8:30. 8:35. And I got, you can see my journal. Nothing. I have nothing. But I'm going to stay here until you get a word. Meantime, I call a friend. Before that, I call a friend. Say, hey, I don't get it. I don't get his number. I can't get him. So I leave an answer. I said, hey, you got a word for me. I need a word. You don't know what's going on. Don't know anything. Hang it up. I start journaling, 8:30, 8:35, 8:40. You know, I'm 30 minutes have passed, 32 minutes. I'm looking at my clock. God, I'm just waiting. I don't have anything to say. I'm not gonna cajole you. I'm not gonna make you. I don't want to make you do anything because I can't make you do anything. Do you know that? You can't make God do anything. Who am I to tell God what to do? God, I'm listening for a word. I'm listening to word. 52nd minute, 53, got in my journal. This word came. This one right here. It's not your battle. Quit wringing your hands. Quit being nervous about it. Yeah, I know it's big. It's big stuff. But it's not your battle. You know what I did not next? I wrote, it's not your battle. Closed up my journal, and I got out of there. I was done. Got my word. It was 2:00. My friend called. You know, 6 hours later. And I can't answer the phone. I'm an appointment. So he leaves a message. This is what he says. He says, Mike, I think the word that God might have for you today is it's not your fight. It's not your fight. God knows exactly what you need. Just tell him. Tell him what you want him to do. And you know, I thought, thank you, Lord. And I didn't have a nervous twitch the whole day. Matter of fact, I didn't even think about it until he called. But it's not your fight. The Bible says that our struggle is not flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual struggle. And who's our captain? Jesus is our captain. Who's the one that goes before us? He's the one that goes before us. Who's the one who fights our battles? He's the one who fights our battles. Why? Because they're not your battle. It's God's battle. It only becomes your battle when he welcomes you into it. But he always makes sure, hey, this isn't your battle. It's my battle. I want to tell you, whenever I hear it's not your fight, this peace of God comes over me. I am with you to deliver you. It's not your fight. It's not your battle. It belongs to God. Here's a third word. Close with this. Jesus is Lord. Oh, I can't tell you how much peace that brings to me. That he is Lord. Can I ask you something? Do you think God's in control of everything except this election cycle? Because one of some of the things I see coming out of Facebook, you think God's in control unless it comes to the election cycle. And then we're fretting and saying all kinds of stuff. What I want to tell you, again, just stop it. Stop worrying about it. Do your part, yes. But quit wringing your hands. We have a God who's in control. He is Lord. The Bible says he sat as Lord at the flood. He sat as Lord as the flood. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who lives in you, is King. He is Lord. He's the blessed Savior, the controller of all things. He is God. Do you think he's wringing his hands, waiting for you? Listen, he's a God who's prompting. He's a God who's speaking. All we want to do is walk in agreement with him. Just stop the worrying. He's Lord. And I would say, the Bible says that you can't confess Jesus is Lord unless by the Spirit of God. That's true. And I can't tell you how many times a word here, a word there. I can't tell you how many times I didn't do it. But how many times I said, oh God, you're Lord over this. And peace be still comes. You're Lord. I'm not Lord. I'm not boss. I'm not king. You're Lord. You're Lord of this today, God. You're Lord of this. And I submit to you. Oh, I'm reporting to you. I want to be a part of it. I want you to invite me to whatever you want me to invite him. But I'm going to quit worrying about this. Because you're Lord. Because it's not my fight. Because I know you're with me to deliver me. Will you bow with me in prayer right now? It's amazing to me. As I worship every Sunday in the set that's presented to us, I thought, I'm about to preach on that. I'm about to speak on that. Spoke about his promises. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I feel. My hope is on him. Let me ask you, church, is your hope on Jesus? Or is your hope on the outcome that you think the outcome ought to be? Is your hope on Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? He is Lord. Jesus said something one day. He said to the disciples, listen, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. I think that's become such a catchphrase that says, hey, you better tell people about Jesus, or Jesus is not going to tell God about you. I'm going to tell you this. I don't think that's what it means. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who's at the right hand of God, at the throne of God, who's praying for you right now. He's praying for you. He's interceding for you. Whatever that problem is, whatever that struggle is, he is praying for this peace. He's praying for you to know him in this circumstance. And I can just see him. I can just see you. Lord, you are Lord over this. And Jesus, he's on the right hand of the Father. He said, did you hear that? Did you hear that? He's confessing you before men. She's confessing you and saying, you're Lord, that Jesus is Lord. And right now, Lord, I'm confessing him. I'm confessing her before you right now, right here. That's what I think that means. I do. He is Lord. You are Lord over this. Listen, next time you start worrying about something, next time you start fretting about something, next time you start thinking about something, and it just starts to churn on you, and your stomach juices begin to drip, I'm going to tell you, all that wants to do is create an ulcer in you. Drip, drip, drip. You just say it. You just believe it. Jesus, you're Lord of this. You're Lord of this. It's not my fight. You're with me to deliver me. Thank you, Father, for this great peace we get to walk in. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm done. I'm done. But I want to tell you, God is not done. God wants to take the word, whatever piece, whatever statement, whatever thing that just kind of grabbed you, I want to ask that you'll take that word and you go, you meditate on it. And premeditate this thing. So that the next time this enemy comes to tempt me with fear, I'm going to just say, you're Lord. You're with me to deliver me. I'm just going to speak it. I'm going to speak the peace so that I can speak peace on other people in my life. Amen? Amen. Well, let's stand together. And I want to just tell you one other thing.